Hey Rod, are you ready to go balls deep in sports?
Hi, welcome to Balls Deep, the premium sports podcast for the black guy who tips. Of course, I'm your host Rod. You should be familiar with one of my co-hosts here, Justin. He's been on the show 20 million times, so tell everybody what's up, Jay.
Just say what's up. Thank you for having me on Balls Deep.
No problem, dude. Let's talk some sports. We also got the homie from the now defunct Fill in the Lanes podcast, but general internet legend and superstar, my man Trill, Trilly D. Williams, Trill Mazeroski. Some people call him Walt Frazier, but whatever they call him, they make sure they keep it light skinned. What's up, dog?
Yo, what's up? Light-skinned brothers ruling the NBA.
Yeah,
we got a new agenda. The Trillanthropist is here. The Trillosopher. Trilly Ocean looking for his Caribbean queen still.
Right. It's good to hear your voice, man.
Hey, can I interject on the side note?
Yeah, of course, bro.
Trill, with you being light-skinned, do you have a preference on the skin tone of the woman that potentially could become Mrs. Trill?
Oh, nah, not at all, man. The only time I ever went through a fetish phase was when I was like 13, 14, 15 years old, and I really loved super dark chicks. Like, real dark brown chicks did it for me. But since then, it's, I'm equal opportunity. I don't take that light skin shit seriously. Light skin dudes are too soft, man. I like to put myself in the very select group of gully light skin dudes. There's only four of us. It's me, Joakim Noah, Bird from The Wire, and Delonte West. Ice-T just got dropped off the list because of that App 9 shit. So.
Well, Justin is team light skin, and there's a whole subculture to the show right now with, they think I don't see him, but I see him on Twitter all the time being like hashtag team light skin. And I just let it ride because, I don't want no problems with the light skin community. They Republicans buy Jordans too. Is how I look at it.
If we could drop Drake and Reggie Miller, I might be able to join the movement. But until I happen, I'm out.
The thing is about, especially with the group of the light skin coalition I'm a part of, man, we really don't create trouble, but we address all issues.
Mm.
We don't let nothing slide. But we support all. We really don't see color. We don't let shit slide when it's geared in our direction.
Well, speaking of team light skin, man, if we're going to talk about the NBA playoffs, I cannot start on any other series than my favorite series to watch right now. And that's the Golden State Warriors versus the Spurs. Of course, there's a lot of light skin that's going around in this joint. You got Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Danny Green. And then on the other side, you got the Splash Brothers, I believe is what they're going by.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I don't like that nickname, man.
Yeah.
I love those dudes, but come on.
That seems like such a, low-key a dark-skinned dude came up with that.
Yeah.
At the Warriors.
Sabotage the light-skinned movement?
And, that sounds like a bunch of Catholics too.
Were sitting in the room, and they were like, no, we're going to call ourselves the Splash Brothers when we stroll. That's funny, B.
And the coach light-skinned too. Mark Jackson, I got to give him his props.
Yeah, old fake-ass man of God. but, yeah, man, so, of course, Clay.
You reach, I preach.
Clay and my man, Steph, who makes me realize that I'm every bit as good as the Spurs, because through the transitive properties of getting killed on defense, I got killed by him at the YMCA, and now I'm looking at TV and they getting killed by him on national TV in the NBA. So I might could have played for the Spurs, but
right,
you
hold up. You used to run pickup with Steph?
Yeah, we both did. The Harris YMCA, he'd come in and what's funny, man, he wasn't busting our ass like he does in the NBA.
Okay. But he wasn't a killer back then.
I feel like he just didn't have to. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was like, why do that to you? You know what I'm saying? He was merciful. But, the way he's doing niggas in the league right now is just, it's ruthless.
It's similar as far as, he would shoot far back from the line,
mm-hmm.
from the 3-point line. But, it's not he wasn't talking to trash.
I feel like we developed him to a razor's edge, honestly. And I'm not trying to like overstate, us, because obviously his father's Dale Curry. He's played basketball, but mentally, I feel like the shit we did to get in his head, that's why he's immune to it now, man. Like, niggas be fucking him up and shit, he be ready to fight now. You know, when he got to the Y, we could have hit him with one of them bows. He'd been like, oh man, what you doing, old man? But,
what year was this? Was this like when he was in college or right before college that you played with him?
Right before his first year of school, when he was still running point guard, right before he switched to a two.
Gotcha.
And, how was
his handle? That's what I feel like it's, yeah, his, but most people can't improve their handle past a certain age. It's like rhythm or like a facility with language. You either got it or you don't, you know, but dude is proving that theory wrong because his handle's legit now.
Well, here's what people don't know about Steph. And it's funny because most of the world didn't get introduced to him until his first year at Davidson when he played the two guard. Steph has played point guard his entire life. He only played two for that 1 year at Davidson when he got real famous. So people were like, oh, he might could go, pro if he could just learn how to handle the rock. The next year he ran point. Like, his handle has always been nice. It's just, he wasn't using it when he was playing the two, man. So to me, it wasn't a surprise. And I was telling, I remember I told my man Rick one time, I said, dude, if the Bobcats could just draft Steph Curry, and he laughed at me and shit and was clowning. And I was like, man, I'm telling you, I seen it. I seen the shit with my own eyes. The nigga got handles. He's like, nah, man, all he could do is shoot. He ain't gonna do that shit to the NBA. I'll never let him forget it. You know, it was the one time I was right about college football, basketball. So yeah, man, what do you guys think about this series? First of all, it's tied 1-1. I believe all the series are tied 1-1 right now. So it's any man's series. What do you guys think about, who's going to come out of the series and how they're going to do it? I'll start with you first, Justin, and then we'll go to Trill.
I'm actually thoroughly enjoying this series because it shows two things. I've always been a fan of the Spurs and Greg Popovich, especially his interviews in between quarters. But it shows that he transitioned as a coach, that he took the talent he had and not only trusts rookies and gives them burn, but he also adjusts his game plan based on the talent he has. And then Mark Jackson, for this to be his second year as a coach and to be winning and to have the youth that he has on his team and actually follow what it is he's saying. And he also made adjustments. I was shocked they was going to do as well when they made that trade and, got rid of that other scorer that used to be on the
Monte Ellis.
Yep, Monte Ellis, and kept Steph. I was like, oh, what they going to do? They need extra scores. But, Mark Jackson made it work.
Yep.
They make the game fun. I love to see that run and gun type mentality, but at the same time, smart basketball, still play defense, and they actually play tough. They're not soft.
Yeah, I like I like his defense too. That mama that goes that man to man that they ran in the last quarter of the game too. I was actually impressed with. Now, what about you, Trill? Who do you think is gonna win the series? And oh wait, did you tell me who you thought was gonna win, Justin?
Oh, definitely the Spurs. I mean, the Spurs gonna lose.
Oh, you got the Spurs gonna lose. Okay, yeah. So you got the Warriors. What about you, Trill? What you think?
Oh, I think that the Warriors should be up 2-0, and I think they're gonna really come to regret that first game. They're gonna lose this series because, you know, Mark Jackson's cool and his old corny inspirational speeches on the sideline where he's like, Pat Riley said that rebounds win rings. Well, rebounds will win game two. I'll be looking at them joints like, damn, that's the best you got, man. He's corny as shit. But I like Mark. And they lost a key perimeter defender right off the bat, like one of the first couple games of the year, if not the first. I remember I was watching it. And now they lost David Lee. Mm-hmm. And they're still hanging right there with the Spurs. And I think I do respect him for the adjustments he's made. And I almost think that the underreported story is just how bad David Lee is on defense. He puts up like the emptiest double-doubles in history. He's beyond Sharif Abdul-Rahim. And he's a sieve down there. And I feel like him going out actually helped the team so much defensively that they don't miss him on offense. And Barnes has come alive and picked up the slack on offense. Like, Harrison Barnes looks like a seasoned vet out there. And I know that most people aren't going to give him credit. And Basa from Five Star is going to be like, yeah, he got to score 30 and 10 for me to acknowledge him. And it's like, nah, dude, he's out there putting up 15 and 6 as a rookie on like 46%. from the field, 80 from the line, 37 from three. That's off the top of my head. Those could be wrong, but I think those are right.
Yeah.
So this team, and Bogut, of course, all of a sudden out of nowhere, is back to being a prime Andrew Bogut. That doesn't hurt. That being said, Mark Jackson's not going to outcoach Greg Popovich, period.
Mm.
And the experience is going to come into play. And if Tony Parker can keep penetrating, I know he's a little hurt. I know Clay's been playing this great defense on him. But nah, I don't see this team beating them four times. Not a team like the Spurs. Nah, and Bogut, as good as his defense is, Duncan will have one of those games. And there will be a game where Steph Curry doesn't go 12 for 16 in one quarter, you know, and Klay Thompson doesn't suddenly hit pull up jumpers with people all in his face. Like, I've seen Klay Thompson go 5 for 20 before because I had him on my fantasy team. That game is coming.
Yeah, and, you know, also, man, Harrison did step his average up because Lee went out. So, you know, it was more opportunities there. But the way they shoot the ball so fast in their offense, it feels like everybody should have a chance to, like, get off if they can get to the rock, if it's out of Curry's or Thompson's hands. I personally want the Warriors to win, and that's who I'm pulling for. That's who I think, has the advantage. The only thing that can stop them, I think, is coaching. But I will say the Spurs have gotten used to going home early. Seems like they're like the Patriots of the NBA to me, where their pedigree is one thing, but when we look at their actual track record over the last few years, they're not really a contender anymore. But we're conditioned to not count them out because we've seen them do it so many times. It's hard to really say, well, they're going to lose to this team. But, I'm going to use my own personal experience as an old person at the YMCA and say, they're not trying to chase these young niggas all day, man. Like,
oh, definitely not.
They have a few, like, defensive possessions every game where I can just see where they're like, really, dude? Like, if you really about to just keep shooting these threes, like, with 2 seconds into the shot clock? Like, we don't have time for this shit. And I feel like they're still kind of playing the Warriors style of play. And, if the Spurs need to slow it down and pound it inside if they really want to, beat the Warriors. But as long as the Warriors are, you know, causing havoc with their guards, it's going to be a problem, man. Like, they're going small lineup on these dudes, and Popovich is going small instead of trying to pound it inside the big dudes. He's kind of like just giving that up and going, okay, let's go, dunking at the five and try to run with them. So it's going to be an interesting series, man.
I think he tried to stay big, but they kept getting in foul trouble.
Go ahead, Trill.
Cause the Warriors do go to the basket. Like I said, they don't play soft. I think they showed that in the Denver series.
Yeah, they will go to the hole. That's a good point. What were you going to say, Trill?
I'm just waiting. Look, they're starting. They got Draymond Green out there with Harrison Barnes. Their backcourt is young outside of Jared Jack, who I think is still underrated, even though people are finally giving him his credit this season. But that's a lot of youth on the floor. That's the only reason I think the Spurs can pull this series out, because just like there'll be those 18-2 runs that we've seen, there are going to be more runs like that, and it's not always going to be a 16-point game when those runs happen. You know, a game can get out of hand real quickly. But I just want to say, this is what separates the burgeoning superstars from the frauds, all right? We see Steph Curry now for two rounds taking his level of play to the next level, even with his teammates being hurt and his team being shorthanded. We saw that Flailure, a.k.a. Flippin' Flail and his rescue rangers, James Broaden, go out, shoot under 40%, clutch plays, guarded one-on-one, putting up bricks on three straight possessions with 2 minutes left. This is where we separate the elite players from those players who put up some numbers and people thought were real good, but who you should not build around.
I'm getting
my Harden slandering, so.
Yeah, I don't think Harden's a franchise player either. But I did think he was worth more than what he was offered. And of course, I'm also a fan of getting that guap. Shout out to Joe Johnson, one of my favorite players in the NBA. Another thing too, that while we're on this series, I might as well bring up, because I always say this and I assume people know what the fuck I'm talking about, but I just realized you might not. Mark Jackson was extorted by a stripper earlier this year, and I'm gonna go ahead and play the story.
Scandal breaking in the sports world. an extortion plot against former basketball star and NBA coach Mark Jackson. Police say his former mistress, an ex-stripper, and an accomplice allegedly tried to blackmail Jackson for hundreds of thousands of dollars to keep the relationship under wraps. ABC's John Schriffen is here with much more on this story.
Yeah, Robin, good morning. Certainly an interesting situation because Golden State Warriors head coach Mark Jackson is known for his squeaky clean image. He's a pastor, a husband, and a father of four. But this morning, that image has been severely tarnished by a scandal Jackson was willing to pay to keep quiet. The FBI says this woman, Alexis Adams, a former stripper, seen here in her modeling photos, wanted to shake down her former lover and was willing to go to great lengths to do it. Her target? Mark Jackson, a former NBA star.
Antonio Davis, Jackson with a teardrop.
Now the head.
I like how the best highlight they could find was a runner in the lane for him.
Hey, but it was poetic though. Jackson with the teardrop. He crying.
Coach of the Golden State Warriors.
No direct line. Come on.
The FBI says Adams and this man, Marcus Shaw, pressed Jackson to pay them thousands of dollars to stop them from making embarrassing nude photos of him public.
The combination of vulnerability, high exposure, and wealth make people like him primary targets.
The photos of Jackson were apparently real. 6 years ago, he had an affair with Adams while working as an NBA announcer in New Jersey.
We fell in love with what the Nets did in the second quarter.
When Jackson ended the affair.
Yeah, whoever sliced this audio, bravo, sir. Fucking bravo.
Aaron told his wife. The FBI says an angry Adams sent Jackson's wife the photos, but the couple stayed together. Jackson, who was also a minister, often talks about his family.
My wife is an incredible woman and an incredible mom that sets an example.
On April 3rd, Jackson says he was approached by Marcus Shaw in a Memphis hotel. Shaw showed him the photos, as well as a CD he said contained recordings of voicemail messages during the affair. Jackson eventually gave Shaw $5,000 cash for the folder, which Jackson later destroyed. But the FBI says 2 weeks later, Jackson was pressured for even more money in an email to his wife, which read in part, quote, "Do you want to purchase these pictures before I sell them?" Jackson responded, quote, "I thought we took care of this in Memphis. You know I value my reputation. I will give you $200,000 to keep this quiet." Afraid it wasn't over, Jackson went to the FBI.
The FBI were able to take the emails and track them right to the two individuals involved. They then pulled up their telephone numbers and placed both of them clearly inside this extortion.
In a statement released late Thursday, Jackson wrote, quote, "I made some egregious errors. I apologize for any embarrassment I may have caused, my family, friends, and of course, the Warriors."
What about your church? Oh, okay.
And Alexis Adams was released from custody Thursday after posting a $25,000 bond. But Shaw remains behind bars because he has a prior conviction for aggravated robbery in Tennessee back in 1996, for which he was sentenced to 12 years in prison. Robbing that according to court records.
And first of all, love that, Si. Second of all, the other thing that is my favorite line from all of this correspondence that nobody ever talks about in these news clippings is, the FBI began monitoring the emails and cell phone records, and one text message from Shaw to Adams said, "Concentrate and fuck him up. He is a fake-ass man of God," and I love that.
Hey, you know what? I've been dissing Mark Jackson for years because a lot of people don't know this, but he used to run with this dude, Tommy Mickens, who was a huge drug dealer out in Queens back in the day during the Fat Cat and Supreme years. Mm-hmm. And I think they called Mark Jackson in as a character witness for either Preem or Fat Cat. And Mark Jackson sat on that stand and was like, "I don't know him one way or another." They were like, "What is your opinion? Do you think he has integrity?" He's like, "I wouldn't say yes or no." He sold that man out. So he has a history. Like, he's that dude who will kick it with you, give you the pound, take your money to play on your drug dealing team, and then be like, "Nah, I don't know that dude. I fuck with God."
Right. So.
This is his style. He just did that to Monte Ellis the other day. When he got the Golden State job, he was like, "Yeah, Monte Ellis is a top three shooting guard in this league." And then yesterday he was like, "Hey, trading him changed the culture of this team." And they're like, "What do you mean?" He was like, "You know what I mean."
Yeah. Yeah. I saw that today too. I feel like Mark Jackson is, kind of shady, man. And, he's a FAMOG. So the other series I want to talk about, well, we're going to talk about all of them, but let's talk about this Memphis Grizzlies Oklahoma City series. I'll go first on this and say, Memphis should win this because Russell Westbrook is hurt and he ain't coming back. And my agenda has been activated because everybody knows I ride for Russell Westbrook. And more so because I thought the hate on him was going too far. Like, there's a certain amount of annoyance I understand, but it was really getting to that point where people were like, he holding Durant back, and he was the reason they weren't being successful. So, it's kind of good to see this happen, and people can kind of realize that Kevin Durant can't do it all by himself and that they have a terrible coach who can't drop an offensive play to save his life. So Westbrook used to bail them out with a lot of layups and drives with 3, 4, 5 seconds left on the clock. And now they don't have anyone that can do that because you got old ass Derek Fisher, hobbling up and down the court, trying to use old man tactics to slow down Mike Conley. And that shit just can't last forever. So I've got the Grizzlies winning this, by pounding in the paint. To Kendrick overpaid Parkins defense this defense is a liability, I think, in this series because his offense is terrible, and he's not stopping Gasol or Zach Randolph. I've got the Grizzlies winning this shit, and I think they'll win in like 6 or 5, not even 7 games. Justin, man, what do you think about the Grizzlies versus the Thunder?
Definitely, I like the series just because I like Zach Randolph. And I mainly want Memphis to win just because I like him. I think he brings a different element to the game that I'm used to seeing in the neighborhood that I grew up playing in, which is, it's not a whole lot of dunking. Their game is low to the ground. Pretty much, if you're going to win this game, you're going to have to be stronger than me. You're going to have more willpower than myself. And it's going to be a fight to the end, basically.
Yeah, it's like, they're a family, and he makes it matter, And you got Zach on your team. That's why you win slow. So, I understand. Anything else, man, to add to that?
No, that's basically, I like Memphis. I like them as a team. I hate they went out early last year. I feel like this year is like they pay back their opportunity to get some revenge. I just like Zach Randolph. He's that dude.
They also give me a feeling that of all the teams on the West left, I feel like they could give the Heat the most problems.
Yeah, I like Marc Gasol too. He played with heart, unlike his brother.
Yeah, he's not a pussy, like Powell. What about you, Trill? What do you think about the Grizzlies versus Thunder?
So we were talking about that Spurs-Golden State series and how fun it is. For me, that series isn't that fun. It's just Golden State is the most watchable team for me. And Steph is the most fun player that I've seen in years. Like, he's so fun to watch. But this is my series. Because you got two of the players who rate in the top 5 on my God scale, right? That's I use my own advanced metric stats. You probably don't know that. But I got a joint called Gulliness and Heart, all right? And so right now, like, Zach Randolph and Joe Noah are 1 and 2 on that.
Okay.
And Tony Allen is 4.
Right.
So, for me to get to see Tony Allen and Zach Randolph thug it up another series is just phenomenal. Dude who can't jump 5 inches off the floor but can still back you down, throw an elbow or forearm in your face, score a layup, pull up for a jumper from 18, like, that's phenomenal. So I love this series. Conley is real steady at the point. He's not one of the best point guards in the league, but he doesn't make that many mistakes. He does what he has to do, and he hits those open threes. I love this OKC team without Westbrook because I do like seeing Durant rise to the occasion, but I agree with you. You know, when Russie outscored Durant, like, for his career, the Thunder actually had a slightly better winning percentage than when Durant outscores Russie. They got a great winning percentage either way, but I think a lot of the criticism sent Russie's way flew in the face of any conceivable reality.
Yeah.
Like, people stopped paying attention to the fact that they were winning when he outscored dude. Like, it was necessary, and now you see OKC has, like, 3 totem poles out there on offense. Like, Kendrick Perkins is a big-ass head on a stick. Like, he's terrible. Nick Collison does a nice little screen and roll game, used to with Russie, and he plays decent defense on Z-Bo, but he's not giving you anything on offense. And what does Tabo do on offense except shoot open shots,
Yeah, so, and my man Ibaka, who I like and has developed a jumper, Man, I turned the game the other day. This nigga was shooting threes. And I was like, I don't remember this when Russ was out there, man.
Russ kept people in their place and in order for them to be successful.
Well, Russ got, listen, this is the gift and the curse of Russ, dude. He's a leader on that team, if not the leader on that team. And he's also one of the most hated dudes in the NBA. And it's all because of that face, man. He can't help it. But that's just, you know, it's human for people to look at you and just judge you off the way you look. And he got that Voldemort face, man. And people are just like, nah, I don't like this dude. I had to drop a dime on that nigga. So
I think the other reason people don't like him, too, is because they feel like they want Durant to score more. And they feel like Russell takes his shots when in actuality, he getting the same shots now that he would get if Russell Westbrook was there.
Well, I think it's the kidification of Durant, and I don't like it. I think it's emasculating. I think people think it's cute and shit. And he even knows it. It's part of his marketing campaign at this point, but I think that shit's kind of whack, man. He a grown ass fucking man. And just because he wears a book bag to a press conference doesn't mean he's a kid. But they stay doing the whole, like, the kids in Oklahoma City, you know, they just sit around playing video games all day. Like, Durant and them don't be at strip clubs or trying to fuck bitches or nothing like that. Like, I don't like that shit. So because Durant's just a poor little kid, somebody got to be the bad guy. And it's Russ. And that shit is whack. Hey, I got a question, though, Trill. On your God scale.
Yes.
Is it odd that, and I'm assuming this, I have not looked at your scale, is it odd that one of the top five gulliest and most hard players in the NBA isn't even in the playoffs, isn't even on the NBA roster? Steven Jackson got cut right before the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. And then went and out and put on Instagram, he bought like a Gucci purse for his lady, or maybe it was a Gucci bag just for himself. Like, he was like, no hair, don't care. That's why he's not he's honorary number three, even though he's not there. Like, he's still there because he's the one who invented the gully scale. It's like he is cut from the cloth of Vernon Maxwell and Xavier McDaniel and Anthony Mason, you know? So
Now, Trill, let me ask you, because Rod and I discussed this a while back, that when he first got sent home, like, just go home, and they had security. Like, it wasn't a regular conversation with the coach. Like, they obviously had security already there waiting. And patted him down before he entered the building and all that other good stuff. But what happened that Pop had to just send him home?
That's tough, though. See, that's what I originally thought, and then I thought about it. Like, look at Pop, man. He looks like the Greek from The Wire or something. Like, Pop looks like he don't give a... He's like, yeah, you a two-bit thug to me. Like, I'll have your throat slit right now, B. Like, I don't think you understand. I used to be at West Point. Like, do you see the kind of shit that I run? Do you see how my face looks, my man? Do you see how I treat these sideline reporters? So I think they just went mano-a-mano. He was like, what's your deal? You about to get cut. And he's like, yo, I should play over these two dudes. You know that they said that was the conversation. He said, do you really think you deserve to play over Danny Green and Gary Neal or whatever? And he was like, yeah, damn right.
Hey, here's Trill. This is what's funny, dude. You just told us this, but Jessica testified to this. This is the exact conversation we had like 3 weeks ago when the news came out. And he was like, what had to happen that they needed security to escort him out the building? I was like, I guarantee you it was the fact that he saw that Danny Green was going to start over him in the playoffs, and he said something to Pop, and it was true. See, because if a crazy person says some crazy shit, you can just be like, man, get your crazy ass the fuck out of here, and everybody will dismiss him. But in a team environment, when you say something that's true, that's the worst possible outcome for a coach. And you have to get the fuck off the team, man. It's like how Kobe had to get off Twitter because he was saying real shit. Like, man, why we ain't throwing the ball down low?
And that was the other thing you said, too, is he said it in front of everyone versus just one-on-one in the coach's office.
I guarantee he blanked out. Like, Popovich probably tried to pull him to the side. Like, man, what's the deal with your attitude in practice today, man? I mean, is it about the playing time? He's like, yeah. He's like, well, you know, I mean, Danny Green is doing well in three-point percentage, and he's been playing a lot of minutes, and Gary Neal's been, man, fuck them niggas, them sorry-ass niggas, man, them niggas not better than me, and he had to go, bro. That's all it was.
It's playoff time, dog. That light-skinned nigga is not gonna get it done.
Right.
Because we know Jackson had popped back all throughout the playoffs last year. That's all he was he had his back.
So and he hit the big shots in the playoffs last year. Man, it's hard for me to root against Steven Jackson. I'm sorry. I just can't.
I love Steven Jackson.
Yeah.
I love Steven Jackson.
And I love Pop, but.
Happy that he got cut.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So let's talk about, the Chicago Bulls versus the Miami Sweeps. Cause I feel like this shit about to be over, man. After, like, they got caught. They got hit with that first round knockdown from a haymaker and, like a true, champion boxer, they returned to form in the second game. Like, man, if y'all don't get the fuck off this court, I feel like Miami's gonna win this, man. I think people for his whole career have tried to pull the let's rough up LeBron James tactic, ever since the Wizards did it in the playoffs to him. And it just doesn't work because he's a freak of nature and you're just gonna hurt yourself trying to fuck him up. It's like he's a linebacker that happens to be really, really good at basketball. So I think the Heat are going to revert, like go ahead and get the sweep at this point and still win this thing in five. Justin, you?
No, I definitely think the Bulls going to win one, maybe two more games.
Okay.
I don't think they'll beat the Heat, but I definitely think they'll win one or two more games, especially one of these home games. And the reason why is because while the Heat are extremely more talented than them, the Bulls have that never say die attitude. And I think without the refs consistent interference and taking the momentum away from the Bulls, in that last game, that game would have been closer. I don't think it would have been a blowout the way it was. Nate Robinson is definitely the current leader of the Bulls. And between him and Joakim Noah, if you take away their spirit during the game, the Bulls will definitely suffer. And I think that's what the refs did with the consistent technicals and the one-sided calls. Going against the Bulls, and I think that affected them in that game.
Okay, so you think maybe going six, seven games?
It'll go seven.
Okay, all right. Trill, what do you think about this series?
Man, it's a tough one. I think people, as much as they enjoyed that game one win and they were like, it's unbelievable, I think people aren't actually rating the unbelievability of it correctly. I don't understand how that's possible. Joe Noah is playing on one foot. Like, he just actually had to sit out a playoff game, so you know how hurt that foot is. They got Luol Deng has Ebola virus or something. He's never coming back. Kirk Heinrich's not there. D. Rose is never coming back, you know. And Nate Robinson is 5'9 and almost was out of the NBA if he didn't take that one-year deal with the Bulls. I really believe that he was close to being out the league. How the hell did that team win game one in Miami? I don't care about Russ. Like, that is insane. And Carlos Boozer is a bum.
Oh, he's so definitely. Like, he playing, so what's going playing on there? He's playing red. He's shooting L-ball layups.
Yeah, I hate that dude.
He's one of the worst. So it blows my mind. So do I think – normally I would say, yeah, obviously Miami's going to have to just steamroll to the next four because of the talent, right?
Yeah.
But the fact that they lost that game and that Thibs consistently has shown that he knows how to rattle LeBron. Like, that one series aside where they won 4-1, D. Rose's MVP year. With the Celtics, they always played Bron real tough when he was their coach for defense. And the Bulls have played Bron tough this year as well. So I want to say they're going to easily win. I want to be on your bandwagon with this, Rob, but I'm just confused now. Like, they've gone beyond my basketball analysis because this team shouldn't even beat New Jersey.
Right. Yeah.
I think part of it, too, is ever since that year when Bron was danced on the sideline and Noah was like, you need to stop fucking dancing. Why are you here in Chicago at our game? Like, I'm not going for that. I think ever since then, they've always had an extra chip on their shoulder to where just because it's the Heat, everyone is intensified and they want to play the Heat. Like, we want to show you, you're not going to dance on us anymore.
Now, I will say this. Even with me believing the Heat are going to just blow their ass out for the rest of the year, I would prefer to see a 7-game series. Culminating in so much media and fan pressure on Derrick Rose to come back that by game 7, Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith on TV calling him stuff like a little punk ass bitch on national TV. Like, I feel like it's getting that out of control with the will Derrick Rose play or not, where you got, you know, guys that sitting in like Cubicle Bob sitting at his cubicle talking about, ACL tears ain't that big a deal.
Culminating in Magic Johnson being like, Derrick Rose is back.
Yeah.
And I totally get why he's not playing. It is. I think it's psychological, the fact that he came back last year and fucked his leg up again.
I feel like the greatest thing ever would be the Bulls go down 25 at halftime. They go to the locker room in game seven, and Derrick Rose comes out still wearing his slacks and church shoes and a jersey, and suits up like the last game and above the rim. They beat the Heat, and then Birdie shoots them on the court in front of everybody. Like, that shit would be, I think that would be the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Who would be Birdie for the Heat, though?
For the Heat?
Would it be Birdman himself as Birdie? Or did you give it to somebody to, like,
it's gotta be the coach, though.
Like Chalmers.
Was Birdie playing? I can't even remember. I don't think Birdie was playing. He was coaching, right?
Yeah, he was coaching.
Yeah, Avon Barksdale was playing. So, I guess it's gonna have to be Spoelstra, man. You're gonna have to shoot that nigga.
But it can't be Spo. Maybe Pat Riley.
Pat Riley gonna shoot that nigga.
He's the one who could get away with it.
Yeah.
I feel like Pat Riley could shoot somebody and people would be like, well, it was Pat Riley.
Yeah, he was trying to motivate his team, you know.
He patented three-peat, man.
Yeah.
Three-peat. But hold up. Here's the thing, man. Has there ever – this has baffled me for years. I've never seen someone who's so clearly the superstar of the league. Mm-hmm. Even a top five player, we can say. But someone – even if he was top five, this would apply. But he's so clearly the best player in the league who has ever gotten more disrespect – from bums on other teams. Like, people really hate LeBron, and I really want to know why. Is he that much of an asshole? Is he that much better than everyone that they're jealous? Do people really believe he has no heart? Let's just review this. Brendan Hayward used to try to punk him. Deshaun Stevenson, Jason Terry. Like, can you imagine Jason Terry coming out in the media talking king shit about Michael Jordan during the finals? Like, he got to guard me now.
Right.
You know, like, that would never happen. Like, the disrespect for this dude, the fact that Michael Jordan essentially put a hit out on him during the All-Star game.
Yeah.
That he just came out and made those comments, and then Kobe took him to heart and was D-ing the shit out of that dude. And this, like, why do people hate LeBron James? Why does he not earn respect around the league? Like, Jono has no respect for that dude. Did you see last game when he flopped? And yeah. Jono was like, that's a fucking flop. And then went to the foul line and was saying directly to LeBron, like, you the MVP. Why the fuck are you flopping?
Yeah. Yeah. And then he wondered why he get flipped off on the way out. yeah, man, I do think, honestly, not to make light of the comparison, but he's kind of got that Jackie Robinson mentality of, I'm never going to say anything. I'm just going to persevere, overcome. And no matter what slings and arrows come my way, I'm just going to turn the other cheek. If LeBron would just dunk on a couple niggas, like push them on the ground and then make jokes about the shit in the press conference after the game, all this would stop. Like just once, cause he'll win the game. He'll have the big stat line. He'll have all the highlights, and then he'll just not address anything that was said about him for the entire series. If he just waited till like one of the, after like game six of this series when they beat the Bulls, if he's just like, yeah, man, well, it's like, those dudes don't have any business out there on the court with me. And, Joe Kim Noah, who is he to me? You know what I mean? Like, just something simple like that. That's all MJ used to do. Like, he'll just drop a real simple, like, I don't know what the fuck Wilkins was talking about. But that's why I gave him 50. And everybody's like, yeah, he gave Wilkins 50. So, all right. You know, that's what drops this shit.
I think the other reason they don't respect him is because he did come out and have fun with the game.
Yeah, I always said that shit. That dancing.
Yeah, right. Although, I have no issue with him dancing and celebrating. I think the thing of it is when he would do it on, and only if he only did it maybe at home games,
yeah,
it might be different. But he was doing it on other people's courts. That other people, like, you're not going to come to my house and disrespect me and my house. And I think that's kind of what led to a lot of the other players.
Well, I always said that he would not win a championship as long as he was doing all that dancing. And everybody thought I was just being a dick about LeBron, but he stopped all that dancing and they started winning, like, rings. So I think they're going to win another ring this year. And not two, not three. You know, like, I think they're going to, they're the team to beat for the next 3 to 4 years at least. So I don't think that, I think there's a certain edge you have to have as a competitor where you got to cut the jokes out, man. And the only reason I believe that is because I've never seen it done any other way. I've never seen the fun team win the NBA championship. It's always the team that's like, we're about our business. So,
yep. You know. Even in college basketball, same thing.
Yeah, you got to be about your business, man. That, say that shit for home. Like, I don't think Golden State can win a championship, and I love them niggas, but they having too much fun. speaking of having fun, we got to talk about Trill's hometown team, and I got to let him lead on this one first. But it's, the Pacers versus Knicks is the last series, and I saved it. Knicks, tanked that first game, but then came out and won in a resounding fashion in game two. Honestly, I don't know how to feel about it, so let's go to Trill and get his opinion of, the Knicks versus Pacers series and who he thinks is gonna win.
This is so tough for me because it's my hometown team. I can't stand the Knicks. I never have liked the Knicks. I never liked the Pacers. Like, I don't even watch these games. Like, I'll tune in the fourth quarter for these games. I hate the Knicks. The 90s Knicks are like an MOP anthem. Like, everyone in New York thinks it's classic, but nobody outside of New York gives a fuck. All right? Like get out. Like, you talk to someone in New York, they'd be like, yeah, MOP is better than Outkast. It's like, nigga, get out of New York. Yeah. Like, no one cares about John Starks almost dunking on Jordan in a series that they lost. No one cares about Patrick Ewing with them big ass knee pads going George Gervin trying to do a finger roll against the Pacers. No one cares about that shit except y'all, man, because y'all never win shit. I hate this Knicks team, dog. I can't stand them. I can't. J.R. Smith is an idiot. Like, he's one of them top four talented shooting guards in the league. Easy. And he always plays below his talent. Because he's a fucking moron. And Carmelo Anthony has one of the purest Jays I've ever seen in my life. I love watching that Jay when he's on the Olympic team and he's a third or fourth option. He gets great shots. When he's the number one option and I have to watch him go ISO 17 straight possessions and dude is shooting 10 for 37 from the field and shit, I'm turning my TV off, dog. Yeah. So I don't care who wins this series. I think Indiana will because they're a better defensive team. Mm-hmm. I think they have a few players who are younger and smarter than some of the Knicks players. But damn, man, I'll keep tuning in for the fourth quarters only, dog. Like,
Yeah, it's hard to watch, man. Especially because Indiana has offensive droughts that they hit routinely. And, it artificially makes the games, way closer or better, like way more advantage to the Knicks sometimes. Like the last game, the Pacers just went dry at some point. And they've been doing this shit all year and, it made the game even worse. It's like, I really can't watch a 20 point blowout with the Knicks. What about you, Justin? What do you think about this series?
I'm actually disappointed in the Pacers. They were the one team in the East I thought that also felt like they could compete with the Heat. Mm-hmm. And that was based off of their size down low. They routinely would go down low, which is the Heat. You know, that's one of the disadvantages. But the fact that they're struggling with the Knicks, who doesn't have a big man presence, really. Carmelo playing power forward. I mean, they don't have a big man presence. And they're struggling against them. And it does go to what you said as far as the offensive droughts. And I don't see how that's possible when you have a dominating big man that you can't just turn around and these all inside layups that you're missing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's a coaching issue or what, but the fact that they're having trouble with the Knicks, I don't, whether they win this series or not, is not going to be competitive the next round. I think I would rather see the Knicks win just because of the fact that Melo, with his confidence in his game, will keep them relevant against the Heat.
I think the Knicks are the quintessential matter over mind team in the NBA. Where if you look at their roster on paper, it's a lot of talent and a lot of people that are like specialists and all this shit, but mentally just a weak ass team, like a bunch of dudes trying to prove that they can do the thing that every coach in the league is like, don't do, you know, like don't shoot over that double team. Nah, I can do that, dog. That's my move. It's like, okay. All right.
So and they old as hell too. Like they's team is so old. They intentionally went out and got Wallace, mm-hmm. Canby, and Kenyon Martin, like three old ass dudes. And out of them three, Kenyon Martin getting a lot of burn.
They too old to be that stupid. You know what I mean? Like there's veterans in the NBA that you get because they're cerebral. And then there's veterans in the NBA because, you know, the nigga was athletic at 20. So he's an athletic 34-year-old, you know, and that's how the whole team feels, like a bunch of dumbass talented dudes. And I'm actually rooting for them in this series because I don't want to see Pacers Heat or Pacers Bulls. I want to see Knicks because and this is thanks to social media, because Knicks fans on my timeline are great. And I'm predicting, and I've been saying this shit for a year and some change now, I'm predicting that J.R. Smith is going to go John Starks in a very important matchup. And I don't think this is the round that's the most important. I know that there was some talk about his coach benching him, possibly the next couple games, cutting his minutes and shit like that. I feel like tonight, or the next two games, he's gonna bust ass and it's gonna squash all the, like, should he cut his minutes? All that's gonna stop. They're gonna start trusting him again. They're gonna beat the Pacers. And then when they play the Heat, he's gonna have a couple, like, 3-for-17 games and, like, some situations where it's really important that he hit a couple of shots. And I can't wait for it. I can't wait for him to go.
Can I say one more thing? Because I didn't tell you about my other advanced metric, which is the CWS, the cringeworthy scale. This is what kills me about the Knicks. They're embarrassing. Like, when your player elbows another player in the face when you're on the verge of a sweep, has to sit out a game and costs you a game that way, comes back guaranteeing a victory, and your whole team wears black, biting the New York Giants against the Patriots for the funeral and loses. I'm looking at that. I'm like, this is embarrassing. It reminds me of when Jay-Z and R. Kelly made the Jigga Kelly Not Guilty song. I was like, oh, this is a cool little song, until it turns out that you peeing on somebody and it's getting bootlegged up in Harlem. and Jay was guilty. He was found guilty.
Yeah.
So, like,
and then you make a whole album.
It gets to be a parody of itself. And that's how I feel about this Knicks team. Like, every move they make. And then why is your coach intentionally making his face look like a vagina? Like, who cuts a goatee that way, dog? Like, what is that? Why do you have a vagina shape?
That's some serious hate when you start criticizing.
Well, also, I mean, not, you know, to keep going with the Jay-Z R. Kelly thing, I feel like the Knicks fans want the best of both worlds too, where they want to be looked at as basketball mecca, but also basketball underdog. And you can't have both, in my opinion. Like, I don't, like, if you start saying, like, man, these fucking Knicks suck, it's like, the fuck you talking about? I don't talk about the Knicks. But if you go, man, well, then the Knicks should beat the Heat, it's like, well, calm down, player. We still, you know, they don't get all the calls. It's like, man, what are y'all? What exactly are y'all other than a bunch of talented dudes that are fucking stupid?
The other thing is, man, I hate to say this about anybody, but, I mean, if they drug tested the Knicks.
Right.
For marijuana.
Yeah, there's no way they could have a roster of five starters.
Yeah,
there's no way.
It's no way that Smith, Melo,
Martin, Kenyon loves to be black as shit, dog.
Man, J Kidd, man, it's even J Kidd, I know. He from L.A.
too. Of course,
come
you
on.
Know he almost killed himself in a goddamn drunk driving accident right before this. They said he couldn't even stand up straight in the club, and he got in his car and crashed that
shit. Damn.
That shit, they swept that under the rug quickly.
Yo, the other thing, too, about this series, and this is just the asshole Gene and me. I love watching the fucking Knicks go to ISO Melo in the fourth quarter and him completely disregard the fact that he's double teamed. I don't know why I'm so amused by this shit. Maybe because it's not my team. I don't know if he's going to ever hear this, but shout out to my man, Nick Nohart. I go look at his timeline every fourth quarter of the Knicks game. I find him, see what he's tweeting about, and then I watch them go ISO Melo for like five possessions straight, and him go like 1-for-5 on those possessions, and I'm just like, oh my god, this is the worst, best thing ever. So,
here's the other cringeworthy scale. He rates a 10.0 on that joint, because every time Melo starts doing rough, he acts like his shoulder, arm, or leg is hurt. And I know you remember that old school joint of him falling down in Denver and just staying on the floor and J.R. Smith dribbling and shooting over him.
Yeah.
Any player, like, that typifies what both of them are about. Like, Melo will fake an injury on some old school shit.
Do they even hang out? You think they even hang out after the games? like they like I mean they've been on the same team for a while.
Melo and JR.
There was a report when they picked him up, when they picked JR up, there was a report that Melo was upset and that he had advised against the move.
Damn. I believe it, man. I believe JR Smith is a frustrating dude to play with, especially if you're Carmelo Anthony that wants his 25 shots a game too. You know? So it's even like, it's like, this nigga is shooting the ball. I want to shoot the ball. And they bad shots. And I want to shoot bad shots.
I don't really like Ray Felton all that much. But I feel like they're not using him properly. And I've seen a couple games down the stretch where Ray really had the pick and roll working. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, Melo goes out 35 feet and demands that ISO shit.
Yep.
And it's like, damn, you just fucked the flow up. Like,
Melo,
up into the flow, man.
Felton is like the Mike Conley Jr. of the Knicks. You know, like, he doesn't cost you as much as the best point guards. But occasionally he'll put up a big stat line if you play to his strengths. But you just rarely see them play to his strengths, man.
Yeah, he's the guy that they really don't want him on the team.
Right.
But he's a good fit on the team.
Right. Like, they would be shittier without him, but they don't. But they too stupid.
And they tried.
They too, like, Melo been stupid so long, man. Like, if you're his coach, you just got to go with the stupid at this point. Like, you can't be fighting him anymore. You got to be like, look, man, you want to ISO 35 feet away from the basket? All right, cool, man. We're just going to run six of those guys. Like, you really cannot fucking fight him anymore because he don't know how to do nothing else, and he's not going to try.
Yeah, he's that kid that always had the green light in the games.
Yeah.
And regardless of how terrible his shots was, the coach was like, good game afterward.
Right.
Here's the game ball. And right. The rest of the team, because he was always bigger than everybody else, they was like, yeah, good job, Melo.
Or you play on his team, and you win, and you still feel empty. That he's that dude.
Yep.
But you like, yeah, man, we won. Melo had 45. I touched the ball two times. I had three rebounds, a couple of assists. That was it, because Melo had the ball the whole fucking time.
Yeah, you leave that game and go to a church league game and kill.
Right. Yeah. You play with Melo and then go to the park by yourself and ball because you still got energy because you didn't do shit.
Yep.
This is actually, it reminds me of the really lean years for the Lakers when Kobe had those bum rosters.
Mm.
And like, I'll never forget when he scored the 81 and the teammates at certain points didn't look like they were happy for him.
Yeah.
And I was like, they really hate playing with this dude. Like, a couple times Lamar Odom, like, wouldn't run back on offense.
Yeah.
Not on defense. He wouldn't run back on offense, and he would just sulk. And I was like, they really hate playing with this dude. But at least he was giving you 40, 50, and 81. Like,
yeah.
I don't see what the benefit is like with Melo with this kind
the
of
good
ball.
Thing for Kobe in that situation is he was keeping dudes in the NBA that didn't deserve to be there. So, like, this is an exception because these niggas could all go play somewhere else without Melo. You know what I mean? Like, with Kobe, it was Smush, Luke Walton, Chris Mim, Kwame Brown, and then Devin George. So it was a bunch of niggas that, like, in a few years we'd be like, what happened to him? But
Devin didn't want to lead the team.
Yeah, Melo playing with like defensive player of the year and shit. This is more like Iverson scoring a lot.
Yeah.
Like,
well, you know, he's hurt too, though. To the Knicks' credit, I will say that. I know Tyson Chandler's not doing so well, and that's why his rebounding numbers aren't up. His back is fucked up.
Yeah, that's my nigga.
He is fucked up too.
No shade to my that's my nigga, by the way.
That's another one of the he's my light skinned field nigga, so
yeah.
he be doing field nigga work, but he light. What are you gonna say?
I just hate the fact he used the Bobcats for those years.
Oh man, he will elbow a nigga in the face so hard, dude. It's so fucked up, but I love it every time. I just had to go down to people that won awards for the year. If you have any dissenting thing, just let me know. LeBron James won MVP. One asshole voted for Carmelo Anthony. It would have been a complete sweep for MVP award, but this guy Gary Washburn voted for Carmelo and then wrote an article about Cop and Please. It was just.
It had to be a mass hole.
It had to be, dude. Only thing that would make this better is if dude was from Cleveland. That's it. Mark Gasol won Defensive Player of the Year. I never really argued the Defensive Player of the Year thing, but It was a bit surprising. I didn't realize that he was on the scale for really being considered that defensive stopper like that. So
yeah, okay. Yeah. But you know what? Go ahead. My bad.
No, go ahead, Trill. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say the one thing that I do like about advanced metrics, because in some cases it's like the internet. When they gave the internet to hood niggas, I was like, damn. This can't happen. A lot of bitches about to get fucked online, mm-hmm. you know? And like, you can't give advanced stats to hood niggas either, cause they just manipulate them in the strangest ways, but they do work on defense for some things. Mm-hmm. Like, Gasol plays the pick and roll crazy well. Like, he closes out on help crazy well. Like, he does play good defense. I think if Jono had played a full season, I'd mess with him. Or Larry Sanders too, I'd mess with on that defensive tip. I don't think guards get considered the way big men do unfairly. Yeah. Because, like, Tony Allen, Avery Bradley, if he played a full season, what he was doing for the Celtics was great. But what I do want to say about this is when Marc Gasol and Larry Sanders had their chart shown on one of them sites where they showed how they defended against straight up and defended against the pick and roll and how low the shooting percentages were, mm-hmm. where everything was like 40 to 30%. It was all, like, green. Mm-hmm. Then they showed David Lee's chart. And his shit was red on every part of the court, dog. Like, they were shooting 60 to 70% when he was defending one-on-one or the pick and roll. Like, dude might have to be hurt forever for Golden State.
If they gonna win, they don't have to be hurt. Yeah, Tim Duncan waited on him to come back. J.R. Smith won Sixth Man of the Year, which is perfect to me. Cause when he pulls that John Starks, I'm gonna be bringing that up. So, but I did think Jared Jack had a shot at it. But they gave it to J.R. Smith, man. Paul George won the most improved player. So that's good for him. And I believe it, cause every time I turned on SportsCenter, he was doing shit that I didn't know he could do before that. It felt like every day I would just turn on and be like, damn, did he make somebody fall and then dunk on him? I'm like, oh yeah, Paul George, huh? Okay. So he felt the most improved. Damian Lillard won Rookie of the Year. So sorry, all the teams that passed on him, which is like 9 teams or some shit. But he won Rookie of the Year for Portland. And he looks like a legit point guard, man, for years to come, man. They really lucked out on that one.
I just hope he gets out of Portland, man, for his knees.
Yeah, he gonna probably get hurt. And, the Coach of the Year, was, George Karl, which I thought was a bit of an odd choice, but it felt like a lifetime achievement award or some shit, because I didn't know he had never won the shit before.
Yeah, they just gave it to him.
Yeah.
It's one of those awards, they just gave it to him. And what I was going to say earlier, but I decided to wait till you went through all the awards, is that, not all of them, but a majority of the awards, is that it seemed like the team, like the Heat, were really, their team would get a majority of these awards. Mm-hmm. You can't, regardless if it's a team of all-stars or not, you can't negate the winning that they're doing with a team of all-stars. Right. They're not the only team in the NBA that has a team of all-stars.
They had the second most wins ever in a row. It's especially surprising considering that 2 years ago the narrative was that they didn't want to be coached. LeBron accidentally bumped into Spoelstra one time walking into a huddle. But now these motherfuckers are winning like shit. We don't get any more of those. Whose team is it? Who takes the last shot? I understand. I do think it was, underrated.
It's hard for me to believe that they don't have a great defensive team with all those wins. Cause you're not just going to get wins just cause you can score a lot of points. Yeah. Just cause you got a great offensive team. We've seen that in history that just scoring points doesn't win. You have to be able to get stops cause everybody can shoot in the NBA.
All right. Now, any more NBA odds and ends before we, don't worry about that. We'll get into that shit later. Let's go ahead and get right into all the odds and ends and other shit that happened around the world and in sports. Apparently, Mario Williams out here, on that Roy Williams. I don't know what it is about these Williams cats, but Buffalo Bills defensive end Mario Williams sued his ex-fiance for the $785,000 10-carat diamond engagement ring he bought her before she dumped him.
Nice ring.
$750,000 for a ring to a chick. And she decided to dump him, but she didn't dump the ring. Williams sued Aaron Mazowski? I don't know. Probably a white woman.
She light skinned.
Oh, you think she light skinned? in Harris Court, during the party's relationship, on or about December 12, 2011. So this shit's been going on for, you know, a year and some change now. The plaintiff purchased a $785,000 diamond engagement ring from Valobra Masters Jewelers. The complaint states, the ring is a GIA certified radiant cut diamond weighing 10.04 carats, E color grade, VS2 clarity grade. On February 19, 2012, the plaintiff gave the ring to the defendant in contemplation of the party's marriage. The defendant accepted the ring as a gift made in contemplation of the party's marriage. Further during the party's relationship, plaintiff provided the defendant with an American Express credit card to use to pay for her living expenses. Like a true simp. defendant incurred over $108,000 in charges on the American Express card, from January 1st to December 31st of 2012. So just a year, which makes me feel like she didn't shoot for the stars. Only $100,000? Further, during the party's relationship, the plaintiff purchased additional luxurious items in excess of $230,000 for the defendant. So these are things he bought for her on his own volition. But Williams claimed that on January 21st this year, less than a year after she agreed to marry him, Mazowski ended the engagement, terminated the relationship. The termination of the relationship was solely caused by the defendant. The complainant states, defendant never intended to marry the plaintiff and use the relationship as a means to get to the plaintiff's money and acquire gifts. The defendant has absconded with the diamond engagement ring. Absconded. That's when you know your shit costs a lot. the plaintiff has demanded the defendant return the diamond engagement ring, but the defendant has failed and refused to do so. Williams wants a restraining order and a writ of sequestration to stop Mazowski from selling the ring. He also seeks damages for conversation fraud and violation of the Theft Liability Act. So I guess, you know, long story short, do y'all think she should get a ring back? Yay or no? I go with you first, Trill.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah, give that ring back. It's an engagement ring. Mm-hmm. This shit hits close to home. First of all, I got no love for Mario Williams. And every time you would, the whole time you were reading that, all I kept thinking in my head was, Mario, like, how you built like that? How you a big, strong NFL nigga, but a weak R&B singer at heart, man? What's wrong with you? The self-hate is powerful, too, because she's such a regular-looking white woman. I just looked her up.
Me, too.
It's the same old story with this shit, man. And it brings me back to what my homie who worked in the NBA used to tell me. He was like, yo, just because you're good at basketball don't mean you're not lame in all other areas. Like, these dudes stay wifing and piping the same old corny trifling chicks in the same circles with no game whatsoever. Like, where's your G at, homie? You got $100 million contract and you got no G?
Yeah.
Nah, man. No love for him. But this happened to my homie. My homie used to date this chick. They took trips everywhere. They met each other's families. He bought her all these personal gifts, real sentimental, and he bought her a ring as well. When she dumped him out of nowhere, she gave him everything back, the photo albums, the cards, like the letters, but she kept the ring in the speakers. So I was like, wait a minute, why you kept his Bose speakers in the rings if you're trying to make a point? I'm giving you everything back. It's over. So that just shows you the tendencies of that person. So nah, you ain't keeping that ring. That ring was for a specific purpose. Now that purpose doesn't exist no more. We're not getting married. Give me that shit back.
All right. What about you, Justin? She should give it back.
I actually think she should go ahead and keep the ring.
What? Why?
Surprisingly enough, I'm a firm believer that if you are here whining and dining at some point to get it with the auspice of that you're going to get some pussy or a relationship out of it, you're doing those things for a purpose. And whether it's the gifts or a ring, he did it for a purpose. She agreed for a time. She changed her mind. It's part of the game.
Now, does she agree for a purpose?
I mean, she agreed for her purposes. That's why I say for a purpose. It's for her purposes, but she did agree, and it's part of the game. So if anything, he's winning.
Mm-hmm.
And the aspect of it is you should, just like anything else in life, you never let people borrow money that you won't miss or care about. And it's the same with that ring. He gave a ring for something, amount of money that he cared about. He got off lucky. Suppose she'd have said yes, and they actually went through with the marriage. And then she said, all right, give me half.
Right.
Like, he's getting off light, because then she would have took half of his $100 million and got $50 million. Right now, he only lost a mil.
Well, the good news for him is that, he could cut his losses early rather than late. But I feel...
The person whom you're trying
to... we lost Trill for a second. I'll call him back. I feel like, real talk, she should give it back, because engagement is a promise to get wed. And if we don't deliver on that, then give everything back. You know what I mean? Now, the thing that's funny to me is I specifically mean this with the wedding ring. Cause like, I don't think he should get any of her living expenses back. I don't think he should get that rent back. Like, none of that shit that he did, should come back. Only the ring. Because I view the ring as like a separate type of entity.
But see, he gave those gifts on the thinking that he was going to get something in return, whether it was continued love, continued affection, to build the relationship. That was the same with the purpose of the engagement ring.
Well, I feel like this is my rule, Justin. I don't know if we can compromise on this or not. Here's my rule. You should have to get the ring back if they want it back. You know what I'm saying? If they say, I don't want the ring, because some people do that. They like, we're not going to get engaged. We didn't work this shit out. Keep the ring. I don't give a fuck about you or this motherfucking ring. I'm rich, bitch, and then throw dollars in the face. And then there's some people that are like, you know, give my ring back. And I think you should have to do whatever that person wants you to do.
Now, I do agree, if from a moral standpoint, that would be the right thing to do.
Yeah, yeah, that's what we were discussing,
I think. But what I'm saying is, on her end... That, and that's from our end looking at it, that's probably the moral thing to do. But on her end, and particularly women in general, they're used to getting gifts. They're consistently getting gifts by men.
Used to you spending and all that.
At all time. And it's just another form.
Not my women.
It's just another
form. I believe in being a player, not a payer. Hold up.
But that's what I'm saying. In theory, the women are used to that. Whether it's dinner, whether typically, even if you have your own apartment and your girl move in with you, you still paying the whole rent. Unless y'all work it out in advance, she paying half. Mm-hmm. Like, in theory, they used to getting. So when he gave that ring, it was another gift. And that's why I feel like the engagement ring should be one size, but the actual ring that you give when you actually get married and you put that additional piece on her finger, that's the one you probably should go all out for. Or he should make her sign a contract just like he would with a prenup when you buy these fancy ass rings.
Now, some states do have laws about this, but I'm not sure if he's in one of those states or not. And I'm also not sure that it matters to a certain type of woman, because possession is 9/10 of the law a lot of time, and they just think they can get away with it.
Yeah,
so
I don't even
not?
Think she wearing the ring anymore. I think she got it locked up in a safe at somebody's house, like waiting so she can't sell it. That's why he specifically was like, she can't sell it, because he know. I don't know why it took him 2 years to realize she all about the money.
Yeah.
She gonna hit him with that Kobe Bryant. She gonna, Mama Bryant, she auctioning that ring off. If she got any Mario's jerseys, she gonna sell them shits too.
And anybody that didn't reevaluate their relationship after watching that 30 for 30 broke, then, I mean, that's on you, bro.
That might have been the start of it, man, for all we know. Like, that might have been when he asked her about that shit. But also, I like the fact that she dumped him. Like, that's, like, to me, she's stupid. Because if you had a sucker like this, you need to take him for half.
I also was thinking she's stupid because she didn't get pregnant during that time.
Yeah, she fucked up, man. Like, it must have just been some straight racism from her parents or something.
I think that, or she's met someone else that's giving her more now. Like, and don't get me wrong, NFL
or his breast stink.
Yeah, that's a good point. He has that face.
You know, athletes do, they do make a lot of money. Well, he makes a lot of money. Not all athletes make a lot of money. But there are actually people that make more than athletes. And if she met one of those people, did she?
Looking at her, I can't imagine it. No offense to her.
Yeah.
I don't see it. She
pulled him, so.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, she looks like he is her ceiling. Like, she hit the lotto when she got that dumb nigga. But I can't picture her pulling somebody like a CEO of a company. I don't know why. Why though? Not my private jet.
But you do. But it's the same way when she was swallowing his kids.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Oh, by the way, here's my American Express credit card, just for whatever you need."
There's no head that good. There's just no.
In our world, but we also wouldn't buy her a like my
yeah,
type
I wouldn't
of woman
buy her. I wouldn't buy her a half of Subway number six.
My woman wouldn't want a ring that costs that much. My woman would be like, nah, bro.
I think that's about you if you buy that ring. Like to be told, this is the one area where I fuck with your opinion, Justin. On this is like the only reason I would say she gets to keep it is because if you buy a $765,000 ring. That is on you. That's not even about your woman. Like you, that says everything about you. It's almost like you want to be that dude who bought that ring, which is wild to me. But yeah, you know, nah, she's nothing. She does not. These big ass niggas need to stop it with these corny, homely white women.
Yeah.
And throwing their money away on them. And also maybe she just found out he was fucking with Kerry Rhodes.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it was, dog.
Never know.
All right. So let's get into another NFL story. And, this one actually has a video, so I'll play it. It's about, someone near and dear to me and Justin's heart, cause we both live in the same city as, the Carolina Panthers, where they play their home games. And, somebody also that is,
big day on Tuesday
near and dear to a lot of haters' hearts, is Cam Newton. So let me, play this video.
Charlotte, hundreds of middle school kids getting a visit from Cam Newton, part of a school pride day that the starting quarterback of the Panthers took part in, putting the kids through their paces on football drills and other fun field day events. Cam getting into it right there. Afterwards, he met the media, and he was asked about guys like Andrew Luck, RG3, Colin Kaepernick having great success early in their careers and how he fits into that mix.
If you're not getting better, you're getting forgotten. So, for this whole offseason, to become not a stronger player, but a smarter player. And, that's one thing I've been focusing on with quarterback coach Ken Dorsey and offensive coordinator Mike Shula. And, those guys have been helping me progress in those different areas.
Talk a little bit more about the man who is the franchise in Carolina these days, and we bring in Adam Schein from NFL.com. Adam, good to see you. You have some strong things to say about Cam Newton, and we're going to discuss those right now. For people who want to see more, they can go to NFL.com. You think it's not...
Hater alert. Just giving you guys a little bit of heads up. If you're a black person, especially if you root for black quarterbacks, this is a trigger warning.
Not going to happen for Cam Newton and for Ron Rivera and this current regime in Carolina. Why?
Well, Scott, a few things. I mean, you set up that Cam Newton sound, I thought, appropriately, talking about Cam and whether or not he's in that group. And I don't think he is. I don't think he's Andrew Luck. I don't think he's RG3. I don't think he's Russell Wilson. I don't think he's Colin Kaepernick. I wonder aloud if he's a winner. Now, why am I saying that? Look at the wins and the losses. Look at how he practices. Take a look at the fact that he has not been named a team captain. Look at the celebrations. Look at the press conferences. Look at how he's aloof. I thought Ron Rivera should have been fired at the end of the year. I thought it was time to hire a young, innovative offensive mind like a Mike McCoy or a Jay Gruden. I think that's the only chance that Carolina's going to have to maximize Cam Newton.
You know this dude's a dick because he said Jay Gruden. Just saying.
Okay, so you're not closing the book necessarily on Cam, if I'm hearing you correctly. What do you think he needs to do to improve to get to that playoff level? Tough division there with a lot of people making good moves, and obviously the Atlanta Falcons sitting in the NFC South, who had the best record in the NFC in the regular season this past year. What does he need to do to improve? What does the coaching staff need to do to set him up for success?
Well, Scott, I think it's a great set of questions, and let's go one by one. Number one, I think Cam Newton needs to be a better leader. I think that, you look at Cam Newton and how he celebrates on the NFL Network in that game against the Giants last year, when they're down big on the scoreboard, enough. The suggestion box in the press conference, enough. Sometimes I think it's okay for young quarterbacks when they're trying to master the fifth quarter of being a quarterback to ask themselves, what would Peyton Manning do? What would Tom Brady do? What would even some of these other young quarterbacks like an RG3 and Andrew Luck do? I'm not convinced Cam Newton's ever going to get it. But I think if you're going to give him the best opportunity at the end of the day, you needed to make a change with the head coach and the direction for the Carolina Panthers.
And we can both agree the urgency is about as high as it gets, with three of those teams in the division having finished 7-9, and someone's going to step up, someone's going to step back. For more on Adam Schein's take there on the Carolina Panthers and Cam Newton, go to NFL.com, and Adam, you'll take a peek, I'm sure, at the comments section later on here today. Thanks, Adam.
Of course, of course. All right, man, so what'd you guys think about Adam Schein's breakdown of that Schein, Cam Newton? I'll go to you first, Trill.
Yo, I was looking at my hair in the mirror during that whole shit. Yo, my hair is beautiful still. I'm way out my 20s, dog, and my hairline is still beautiful. My curls are still springing. I don't have gray hair. Like, it's really remarkable. I don't pay attention.
To you, sir. Congratulations.
Like, why would I even pay attention to a dude like that? It's the same as the dude who voted for Melo. Essentially, what he's doing as soon as he opens his mouth is saying, look at me. That's all that's about. Look at me. It has nothing to do with any real analysis. Like, I'm done with the Cam Newton stuff. It's boring. People don't like him. They're finding 7,000 different ways to get at dude. No, I'm not paying attention to Schein.
All right. What about you, Justin?
I agree with Trill. He didn't make any comments about actual football.
Right. He didn't use a single stat.
Yeah,
he used nothing but wins and losses as his analysis of quarterbacks.
And he played. And the thing is, he bashed Cam. But at the same time, he did somewhat touch on the blame coaching. But he still made the focus about Cam when it's really about coaching and what the GM is doing and bringing other people to the team. Because those other guys that he mentioned, they actually have quality players, quality coaches, and things like that to make a great organization.
I also like how people act like it wasn't just a year ago when he set all these records as an NFL rookie.
Right, and I think the other thing is, while you're mad because maybe he didn't progress and under your certain standards,
I think Trill is shaving up his edge.
No, I had to shape it up slightly. I was, because you said Schein, and I was like, yeah, I do need the Schein out here.
So yeah, man, I agree with y'all. It's really a non-story, but it's always funny when you have the. It's like the prerequisite one white dude that got a hate on Cam Newton per season. It used to be that Naraki dude, and now it's Schein. So, and the thing is, I never hear about these dudes again. Like, it's always just like, I don't like Cam Newton. And everybody's like, what? You don't like Cam Newton for like a week? And then Cam Newton plays good enough. And then next year, like, new white dude doesn't like Cam Newton.
But Rob, what does it mean? Why do they do this in football? They're like, yo, he needs to ask himself what Peyton Manning and Tom Brady would do. Like, but that's... Everybody needs to ask themselves that. You just singled out the two best quarterbacks of this generation. Like, what the fuck does that mean? It's not a quarterback in the league. Even Drew Brees needs to ask himself that. You know, like, what kind of criticism is that?
Yeah, you know who I think should ask what Tom Brady would do?
Welcome into
Titus
the latest
Young.
ESPN headline. I'm Prim Saripapat. Former Detroit Lions wide receiver Titus Young finds himself in trouble once again as he was arrested twice in one day. Now, since being drafted in the second round in 2011, Young has continuously found himself in trouble on and off the field. But even before that, during his college days at Boise State, the receiver dealt with a lot of issues off the field. And joining us over the phone right now is NFC North blogger for ESPN.com, Kevin Seifert. So, Kevin, let's begin with the most recent turn of events. What exactly happened?
Yeah, it sounds as though he had he was in Southern California and had a DUI and was arrested. His car was impounded, as that happens in those situations. And someone posted bail for him not too long after the first arrest. And that afternoon, an employee of the impound lot called police to say that somebody was jumping over the fence of the lot, apparently to try to get a car, and it turned out it was Titus Young trying to retrieve his car from the lot, and so he was arrested again and charged with burglary and some other issues. So
now I feel like on that second time, he probably was standing outside the impound lot thinking, what would Tom Brady do? Tom Brady would go get his fucking car, like a true G.
Aaron Rodgers would too.
Yeah, so I don't know how you can hold that against him.
Two arrests in the span of about 15 hours qualified him for two mugshots, which is rare, and really an unfortunate continuation of a tough stretch for him.
Now, in addition to this, while he was with the Lions, he was sent home three different times. And while at Boise State, got into trouble many a times. Why can't he stay out of trouble?
You know, I guess that's a million-dollar question. You know, he came to the NFL and he second-round draft pick, which got him a signing bonus of just under $2 million. And he was on a team with a really good quarterback in Matthew Stafford and a good passing offense and a lot of good players surrounding him, Calvin Johnson being one of them, and was just not able to capitalize on that opportunity. You could probably do a documentary in and of itself on how to destroy a promising NFL career by following Titus Young over the past year or so, and whether anybody will be able to figure out why, there might not be an easy answer there, but he certainly has given up or the opportunity that hundreds and thousands of players across the country every year dream of getting.
You talked about...
Well, he earned that. But I wonder if what Mr. Sean would have said about him, or if he was if he would have been on that. Think what Jerry Rice would do, okay? Think what Wayne Corbett would do. Anyway, what y'all think about Titus getting arrested twice in 15 hours?
I think he should have told him.
I don't defend that shit. So that's on you.
No, I think he should have told them, do you know who I am? during the first time when he first got pulled over, and he should have just got a speeding ticket.
Who was that white actress that got arrested last week?
Was it Renee Zellweger? Was it the other chick? Witherspoon.
Reese Witherspoon, America's Sweetheart.
She said, do you know who I am?
Yes. Do you know who I am?
That's what he should have said. Do you know who I am?
But they could have honestly said no to him.
Yeah. They're like. another quick one, apparently Chris Clue and Brendan Ayambadejo both got cut, and looking at outsports.com, they are putting out the theory that they got cut for being pro-gay rights. They were, you know, very outspoken on their LGBT advocacy, and both guys are not on a roster right now. People are speculating that it's not because they weren't good at their jobs, but because apparently they were too pro-gay rights. What do you guys think about that? Start with you, Justin.
Oh, they definitely got cut because they were speaking on topics that while they have the right to speak on, the NFL doesn't want any controversy brought to their sport. And it just brings more attention to the sport because I don't think there's a current gay athlete in NFL that's saying, I'm out and gay. And so they want them to shut the fuck up.
Mm. What do you think about it, Trail?
I'm going to actually disagree. I'm going to say nah. Have you ever heard of Azerbaijan or whatever before this? You know, like he's a marginal special teams player at this point, but what do y'all know about Minneapolis? Dead serious question. Do you know much about it?
No. I only know Prince and the Timberwolves hang out there.
All right. So here's the thing. I've lived in a lot of these Midwest cities during my career for various reasons. Mm-hmm. Minneapolis is by far, no hyperbole, the gayest city I've ever been in, dog. Mm-hmm. Like you would not expect that in the Midwest. But I'm from New York. I've spent time in San Francisco. Minneapolis, hands down, is the gayest city I've ever been in. I do not think Chris Clue got cut from the Vikings, where there is a serious fucking gay population like you wouldn't believe because of his beliefs. He got cut because he's a punter who's about to make $1.5 million, mm-hmm. and he's on the decline. And they got a young punter in there who they can sign for, whatever the league minimum is. That's the nature of the business.
It makes sense too, because if Prince is the straightest man in Minnesota area, then it makes sense that it would be pretty gay friendly.
Dog, you wouldn't believe it. Trust me, it blew me away.
I believe the city is gay friendly. Ayo. But I don't think the NFL still wants its players commenting on it and bringing mm-hmm. attention to the NFL about it.
So you feel like, I'll put it this way: do you think it helps?
Oh, it definitely didn't help. I think they thought they would be able to maybe sweep these guys up under the rug because you had the draft and you had other things, playoffs, NBA playoffs and other things like that going on, that it maybe it would have been swept under the rug and nobody would have noticed.
I like that 200 people got cut, and these are the two that everybody cares about. You know what I mean? Like, it does say something about the times are changing, and the marketability of having a pro-gay stance, I think, is there's something to be said to it. Now, I don't think it's going to make you a lot of money or anything, but there's really not much of note about a punter and a special teams guy getting cut in the middle of May. But
don't forget his other stuff, though. I mean, I'm agree with you here, Justin. Like, it doesn't help to be outspoken.
Yeah.
Even when you're a great player, the best thing is to waffle. It's to just give no opinion. Like the Derek Jeter answers that where he never gives an answer. Like, Cluey is outspoken on everything. Remember he wore that patch, the Ray Guy joint for the punter, put him in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Like, his special teams coach didn't like that either. And mostly it's like, listen, we're a corporation, and we want you to be a faceless cog in our machine. Like, the more you talking and being on blogs and doing this and that, that becomes a distraction. Like, I could believe that he could get cut for that, but I really think it's financial. He's a punter, and he didn't have a good year last year.
Yeah, and I'm just glad.
You don't keep him.
I'm just glad people are noticing, though, is what I mean. It's like, times are changing where people are going to notice. When you have a stance like this, good or bad, people are going to be like, hey, whatever happened to that guy? Because, you know, I think there was a time in the past where nobody would have gave a fuck.
And we can call them subpar, but how many of these teams have players that you're like, why is this guy still on the roster and making all this money?
All right, two quick things. Do y'all think Chris Paul's coming back to the Clippers, yes or no? And I'll go with you first, Justin.
I think he will, but I don't think he should. All
right. Trill?
If he does, it's because they can give him the most money. It's purely financial. I don't think he wants to. And as I love Chris Paul, he's probably the best point guard of the last 15 years by just about every stat that you can use in the eye test. But there's a part of me at this point that thinks he might be holding Blake Griffin back. I know that's kind of a blasphemous opinion, but I feel like his slow the game down, control the game style has emasculated Blake's game a little bit. So I think it might be best for him to move on for himself and maybe for Blake as well.
All right. What about Dwight to the Lakers? Do you think he's going back to the Lakers? Trill first.
No.
Mm.
Would you go back there? Look at how they just treated that dude this season.
Well, I mean, isn't it the same like money argument, I guess you could make? Like, they could give him the most money.
Damn, man. I can't imagine going back to that situation after the way he was treated, man. Mm. There's no way.
What about you, Justin? You're a Lakers fan.
I think he's going to stay. I don't know that that's necessarily the best thing for the team, depending on how they word his contract. With that no trade clause and some other Devin George clauses that hopefully they learned their lesson about.
Yeah.
But I think he will stay, and it's for the same reason Chris Paul, that he will stay based off the money, but I don't think he should.
I think he's going to stay, too, because he dated a woman that's on Basketball Wives, and that says a lot about his decision making and what kind of person, you know, he really is. And I think that he'll end up back with LA regardless of the situation. And I think Chris Paul's coming back to the Clippers too, because it's actually the best roster he's ever been on. But they need a new coach, and I hope he actually says something about that. Even though I do think Chris Paul and the point guard position are overrated. All right, and then closing segment. I'm going to try to make sure I do this every week. This Week in Mamba. That's right. Kobe Bryant, everybody knows, one of my favorite players, one of the most hated players in the league, cornball of tremendous proportions, snitch, and just a petty individual. But I grew up worshiping Michael Jordan, so I really can't say shit. Kobe Bryant is playing some of his toughest defense yet, suing his mama. Why? Because she is selling his high school memorabilia and his early professional basketball memorabilia. And he says he didn't tell his mama she could sell that shit. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Here's a subpoena. Come to court. But yeah, he's in a court battle over whether hundreds of items from high school jerseys to trophies and championship rings can be auctioned off. Pamela Bryant said the NBA star told her the memorabilia was hers. She arranged earlier this year to auction it off through a Berlin, New Jersey based Golden Auctions, and received $450,000 in advance. Now, here's what's weird to me. If even if I did give this to my mom, what does it say about our relationship? She's like, I'm selling this shit.
Yep.
You know, like my mom probably got shit in the attic right now. Where it's like, you know, my bronze baby booties and shit. And his mom couldn't wait to sell, legit items that, you know, she could use. So, it just seemed kind of like crazy that his own mama would feel that way. Last week, lawyers for the son wrote to the auction house demanding it cease the June sale. Golden is suing to assert its right to sell. In a filing Wednesday in the U.S. District Court in Camden, Kobe Bryant says his mother acknowledged to him recently that she did not have permission to sell the items. The suit was filed there because the auction house is located in southern New Jersey. We dropped Trill, but what do you think about this, Justin?
At first I laughed. I was like, this can't be real. Like, this can't be life coming up on Mother's Day weekend.
Yeah.
But then the more I thought about it, and I was like, it's typical Kobe. Mm-hmm. He's not a guy that's been able to handle his situations out of the media and just handle them in the house.
Yeah.
I've also heard other rumors the reasons why she's selling this stuff is because he refused to buy her another house.
Wow.
She wanted a bigger house in Arizona. They cost a certain amount, and he was like, no, I'll pay this amount for a house, and if you want more, you got to come up with it yourself. Wow. So I'm okay with him getting his items back. It's not like she isn't married. Her husband can take care of her. It's not like she needs the money.
Yeah, it seems extremely petty at best.
So I think it's one of those things where we've all gotten trophies over the years and like, you know, I want this at my mom's house so she can see this, be proud of me, that sort of thing. And for her to sell it says, is she really proud of him? Is it a money grab like we say about so many other gold diggers? And we do it. There are mothers who money grab for their children. So
yeah, she's like, you promised to give me that. So Justin, sticking to your earlier stance about keeping engagement rings, if he says she could have it, if she just takes it and sells it, I mean, does he have any right to be mad?
No, he can't be mad at all. He had to be mad at himself.
That's cold that you playing cleaning out
the closet. Huh? What? Huh, sir?
I wasn't going to comment
on it. Sorry, Mamba.
So what do you think about it, Trill, man? I mean, it seems like just a completely fucked situation anyway.
It's fucked. I'll say two things about it. One is the thing that's foul is whenever family stuff gets played out in public, you know that there's a real funky situation. But the second thing is I just don't comment on stories like this. It goes back to on Fill in the Lanes when we talked about Floyd Mayweather cursing his father out.
Mm-hmm.
You never know, just because you're dynamic, just because I love my mom so much and I can't imagine putting her on blast and all that, you never know what another person's family dynamic is like. And yeah, it's a real slippery slope to comment on that. So I don't get, but I love that Kobe can't stay off Twitter now that he's found it. I love that he can't help but talk about everything in his life on Twitter, dog.
It's beautiful, man.
Yes.
This is the kind of shit that I prayed for, and I remember telling niggas a long time ago, the only reason that we love Michael Jordan unequivocally when we were little kids, or most of us anyway, was because there was no social media, there was no real paparazzi, there was no like scandalous shit really going down with our sports magazines, there was no TMZ, and Kobe Bryant is the exact, like, if you could take Jordan's fast forward time 15 years and just have him back in the NBA, I think this is exactly what would happen with Jordan's career. A bunch of like, hey man, did you see he's suing his mama and shit like that, you know?
Yeah. No doubt about it, man. No doubt about it. But I do think Michael probably wouldn't have been all up in the social media though. He tries to play it low.
Yeah, he also didn't grow up in the era where it was a thing, you know? Like, I feel like he plays it low now, but in, like, if he had grown up, it's like this. He grew up with acid wash jeans.
Yeah, but he was also a Bama by choice. And, like, you know, like, he was like, nah, fuck that rap music and that R&B. I'm sticking with Anita Baker in my earring. Like, he, by choice. And also, I think he would have been intimidated by Twitter. He just strikes me as a brother who might not type very well.
Yeah, that's possible too, man.
I, I think Magic Johnson would have definitely been on Twitter back then. But can you imagine him tweeting in Las Vegas again? Me and Worthy got these hoes. We about to, you know, twit picking him and his hoes. And it's like, you know, your wife at the house cooking. She just pictured a meal of, like, she waiting for you to come home, Magic. What do you think about that?
I mean, Michael Jordan has a picture of him with that white chick in a hotel room. Like, he would have got caught out there, man. He got caught by Sports Illustrated gambling and just told them niggas, if you do this, I will never be on the cover or do an interview or article with y'all again. And they retracted the shit. Like, I feel like he just was in a different era, and any athlete that tried that shit now, it would be two stories. One, how you got caught. Two, how you tried to harass my magazine out of publishing your story. So, times have changed.
The difference, though, he wouldn't talk about, like, Jordan is really on that MJ please shit. Mm. Like, if you bring up an issue from his past, I feel like he'll give you the silent treatment. He lets you know right off the bat, we are not talking about that. I feel like Kobe wants to talk about everything, dog. Mm. He's like, yeah, I play the piano, I speak Italian, my mom's is this, my wife is this. Like, yo, I just had, like, he tweeted his pre and post surgery photos.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
He's a lonely man.
Kobe will not talk about Denver, Colorado.
Oh.
And he won't talk about suing his mama. He won't talk about, he pick and choose what he won't talk about.
He did tweet about his mama. They did show. Yeah.
What'd he say?
In the article where he tweeted about his mom was like, sometimes you people, you think you give, and when is enough, because they consistently just want to take.
Yep. Mm. And then he hashtagged it with like, love? Question mark.
Oh, wait, I'm reading it. When you give, and they take, at what point, spell what wrong, do you draw a line in the sand? Hashtag hurt beyond measure. Hashtag gave me no warning. Hashtag love.
What a question mark.
Yeah, you're right. Michael wouldn't have tweeted that.
Yeah, so it's, but this, but also,
but it's mostly because he can't spell.
It's like you said,
Mario
measure.
Williams tweet right there.
Yo, retweet Mario Williams.
But it's like what you said earlier, he's petty. And think about when he got caught up cheating on his wife. Shaq does it. Like he's that guy.
Yeah.
Like he fucked the sinking ship going down by itself. You know, I did it. It's my bad. It's, nah, I might be going down, but fuck everybody else and everything going on around me too.
See, I think Mike has this in him. I just think we'll never know because he didn't learn how to type. Yeah. But
Mike got so big, so powerful to where he's above it now.
Right. That'll never happen again.
And look at Kobe's mom. You think she wasn't looking at that rape case too? She's like, nah, what you do? You went and got a bootleg jail tattoo and gave a $4 million ring to this hoe, and you won't buy me a new house? She probably brings that up every time she wants some shit, even if she wants a gourmet meal. But you got her that $4 million ring. You won't buy me this meal?
But we don't know how many houses he's bought his mom. We don't know.
Not too few.
But we don't know. And we don't know. And again, like, the father still coaching somewhere else in some other country. Like you not broke, mom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is my wife now. I know it's hard for mothers to let their sons go, especially when you're the only child, the only boy.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, it's just sad to see it play out in public
like that. I didn't know Kobe had sisters till he Instagram pictures of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they was all, you know, dunking and shit. It was crazy. Anyway, man, it's been the first episode actually ever of Balls Deep.
Right, you got some big balls, dog.
Name pending. No. Pretty big testicles, bro. To do this podcast with me. Let me thank Justin for doing the show with me, man. I appreciate it, Jay.
I appreciate you having me.
Appreciate you being on, man. And then my man Trill. Appreciate you doing the show with us, man. Thank you.
Always a pleasure to work with you, and definitely great to work with you too, Justin.
I appreciate that, bro.
No doubt, man. I definitely have both of y'all back, man. Talk some more sports eventually, next few weeks. All right, man. So, signing out for Justin and Trill. Thank you guys for paying to listen to this podcast. We appreciate it.
It's the inaugural. We made it.
Yeah, nigga. About to get this guap. Shout out to Chris Cluey. All right, man. We'll talk to y'all, next week. Peace.